I might just pray for you as we start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us in the Bible. We thank you for the time and the effort that Karen has put into explaining it to us today. Father, we pray that your spirit will be with her as she speaks and with us as we hear, and that you would be opening our hearts to hear what you would have us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Anyone know this music? Yes? Excellent. Handel composed Zadok the Priest for the coronation of the British monarch George II in 1727, and it has been performed at the coronation of every British monarch since then. The bishops of the day suggested a biblical text for Handel, and he's quoted as having said, "I have read my Bible very well, and shall choose for myself." And so the choir sings, "Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anointed Solomon king." And the music builds and eventually culminates in the striking "God save the king." Today's passages from Matthew show us two very different images of Jesus as king. The first, in Matthew chapter 21, could be seen as a coronation of sorts. There's a large crowd. They spread their cloaks on the road. They cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Those ahead of Jesus and those who followed shouted psalms. The whole city is stirred. Understandably, it's electrifying. "Who is this?" they ask. Now Matthew is telling this story, and he makes a little aside in verses 4 to 5. This took place to fulfil what was spoken to the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, "See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience, people who would have known this prophecy, and so he's eager to point out that Jesus is fulfilling it. He is the long-awaited Messiah. Did you catch some of the parts from the Old Testament readings? The donkey, the shouts of joy, the city gates, the branches in hand, the festive procession. It's happening now, Matthew says. People are running alongside Jesus, coming into the city where the Jewish people knew was the place where God was to be enthroned and worshipped. In the context of Zechariah chapter 9 was that God will bless Jerusalem. He would come because he loves and is jealous for the city and for its people, and that God would overthrow the enemies of Israel and bring peace. Matthew is saying, "This is your king. He's here. The Messiah is here." And in verses 10 to 11, the people ask, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Not everyone in the crowd is reading the room. They don't all interpret the signs. For some at least, they're simply seeing the Nazarene guy, the prophet. That they didn't see who Jesus was may have had something to do with their expectations, and I can understand that. Where's the chariot? Or the magnificent war horse? Perhaps they thought, if he's coming to save us, then why aren't these symbols of power and rule coming with him? Jerusalem has been a political hotspot, and it still is. The Babylonians, Persians, Alexander the Great with the Greeks, and now the Romans had all staked their claim on it. Understandably, the Jews desperately wanted to be saved from political oppression and the humiliation of being ruled over by foreign powers. And Jesus enters Jerusalem, gentle and riding on a donkey. The ancient Greeks and Romans, the world that Jesus had been living in, prized honour above virtually all else. To the Greeks, humility was weak and despicable. But Jesus made it the cornerstone of character. Kings are associated with power, authority, and privilege. Jesus had these in abundance. He created the world. He had the whole resources of the world at his fingertips. And yet he enters Jerusalem in humility, with gentleness and riding on a donkey. Is it any wonder the people ask, who is this? This week saw the Survivor finale on TV. It's okay if you haven't watched it. It's a reality show where in the later series, 24 people camped out on an island in Samoa. They competed in challenges, and every couple of days they hold a tribal council and vote someone off the island. And after 94 days of play, self-proclaimed King George of Bankstown was front and centre of the action. He had played in a previous series, and before this latest game he declared, I've come back to take what's rightfully mine, the crown that Haley stole from me. I'm willing to do what it takes to get this job done. And at the end of the series he said, glory or death wasn't hyperbole. It was my strategy walking into Samoa on day one. I told myself I'm going to play the most glorious game in the history of Survivor, and I did. Now, it is a game, but King George's tactics were manipulation, betrayal, lies and deceit. What a king! And what a contrast with King Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. In the Matthew chapter 27 reading, there are some symbols of kingship, but the mood from chapter 21 has dramatically changed. Instead of Jesus being welcomed, now the crowd mocks. They put a scarlet robe on him after he's stripped. They set a crown on his head, but it's made of thorns that they've twisted together. They put a staff in his hand and then take it and use it to strike him on the head again and again. They knelt in front of him and said, Hail, King of the Jews. But then they led him out to crucify him. The praise of Palm Sunday has turned to derision. He really is the king. But this enthronement is done in mockery. He embodies a reign which is marked by weakness and humiliation. And it's for the people who treat him like this. The one who is entitled to all honour lowers and empties himself. If anyone was ever entitled to cry out, what about me? It isn't fair. Surely it was Jesus. When Queen Elizabeth II died last year, there was one clip played repeatedly in the media from her 21st birthday. I'm tempted to do the accent, but I'll Try not to. I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service. Politicians make their promises, but as often plays out, their words can be cheap. Queen Elizabeth was so admired because for her long reign, she matched what she said and served. It was reported that she chose the readings and hymns for her funeral, and I particularly loved that one of the hymns she chose contained these lines: "Till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love and praise." She recognised that even her power and privilege, which she had in abundance, were a very faint shadow compared to a greater king whose power and rule is limitless and whose reign is timeless. The past few weeks I've been remembering many beautiful examples of humility of followers of Jesus who I know. Often they're thankless tasks done to serve. Humility is compelling, especially when it can't be repaid. Now, if our King embodies humility, then his followers are also invited to embody this same humility. The humble person is one who holds their power in the service of others. Following him often means taking up the pattern of suffering and service, not grasping at glory like King George of Survivor. The theologian Karl Barth said, "Sin is where we are the servant but try to be the Lord, whereas Christ is the Lord who comes to be our servant." Is it any wonder the crowd on the first Palm Sunday asked, "Who is this?" And on this Palm Sunday in 2023, we can ask, "Who is Jesus to you?" On Wednesday this week, Clara became an Australian citizen. Along with others from over a dozen countries, she pledged her loyalty to Australia and its people. Today, we're invited into citizenship of a different kind. Not a nationality, but the kingdom of God, which is established in Christ. Its ruler is not like those who lord it over their subjects, nor use their power and privilege for their own ends. This king doesn't live for his own convenience. King Jesus rules from humility and sacrifice. He rules with justice and mercy. He rules a kingdom that will never end. The majority rejected him, but a minority saw the signs, who he truly was, and bowed down in worship. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient to death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This King is the one we love and seek to worship this Palm Sunday. All hail the King.